Welcome to Forces of Fantasy, a podcast dedicated to all things Warhammer Fantasy and then some. I'm your host, Gert-Jan van Heugde, but since you probably can't pronounce that, I'll just go by my initials, GJ. I'm starting to think that the Monday is the worst possible day for recording and putting out a podcast, because after I published my episode yesterday, a few hours later, a Old World Development Diary dropped. And by the time you hear this podcast, and if you are in any way, shape or form active on social media, you will probably be familiar with this article and you've already read it or seen it announced. I still thought I'd jump in and see if I can get in on the action. While this is still relatively fresh, I would have done this extra episode yesterday, but I had a speaking engagement last night, so I wasn't able to do that. I didn't come home until, I believe it was 12:45. So after that, I didn't really feel like recording another podcast. So I hope this is still in time for you. This Old World Development Diary gives us a pretty much first glance at some of the rules, and there have been some changes compared to other editions of Warhammer Fantasy, compared to the stuff that we're used to. They mention a few. They say that the first thing what they are going to focus on is the battle lines. So they want to have units with a wide frontage and get those units into combat. One of the things that we have in this edition is that the units, it doesn't really matter which troops are physically touching another enemy model. As long as you are in the fighting rank, you can fight. So I assume there's still going to be two ranks if you have spears. Or maybe even if they take the 8th edition rules, it's going to be two ranks in general and then three if you have spears. I don't know about that. So that's one of the things that they've changed, and I think this will also mean that we don't have to worry that much anymore about things like clipping, maxing out the number of combatants, maybe barely not making a charge because of having to wheel to max out the number of fighters. I think this will streamline the game a little bit. It might also take away a little bit of the realism. And as always, I know there's always in these games a balance between realism and playability. And well, for those of you who have listened to the first edition episodes I did, you'll see that there's a lot of realism involved there, especially if you're familiar with the later editions of Warhammer. There's a lot of realism in those first editions, but it also comes at a cost of taking a lot of time to keep track of everything that's happening. And there's a lot of bookkeeping involved. So if you lose the bookkeeping, then stuff will get more streamlined, but you will also lose a bit of the realism. One of the things that they have incorporated from those Old Hammer editions is that you now no longer necessarily break and free from combat after losing a combat, but you are being pushed back and then your opponent can advance. They call this the push and pull of battle. You see this happen in real battles as well. The ones that are getting the upper hand are pushing back the losing side, and then at some point the losing side gains the upper hand and they push back their opponents, especially in some of those old, or maybe not old, but some of those movies depicting old battles, you see stuff like that. So yeah, that could be one of the things that's adding to realism without really taking away from the rules. And I'm curious to see how that will work out. Another thing they mention in this article is that magic no longer has its own face, but that magic is integrated in the other phases. And You will be able to cast spells and dispel more depending on the position of your wizard than on the cards or power dice that you have accumulated. So probably also again less bookkeeping there. I'm curious to see how that will play out. I've seen someone say that this is these rules, at least two of the three rules, the push and pull and the magic, have been ported over from Warmaster. I can't affirm to affirm that because I've never played Warmaster, and I think probably by the time we get to the era that Warmaster is released in our look through of Warhammer Through the Ages, I will then probably dive into the rules a little bit. The whole 15mm scale or 10mm scale, I don't even know which scale it is. It never really appealed to me, although I do see there are some advantages to it. So yeah, it's just that nobody in my area that I know of played in that scale, so it never made sense for me to go and pick up those rule books or miniatures. Now, before we leave this off, and this is just going to be a brief episode, there won't be a time machine section, this is just discussing the news a little bit. Before we go, I'd like to take a look at some of the pictures included. The first picture is one of a dwarf battle line facing off against high elves. And we do see some very familiar troops here. I think most of the dwarves here are the plastic kits from later eras. I see a lot of the old slayers over there. Those are the metal slayers. For some reason, not all of them have their beards in the iconic orange color. There's a lot of yellows and browns in there as well. I don't know why that is. There's probably some reason for that in the lore. I do think that if you want to make Warhammer a game that appeals to the older people, one of the things you don't change is the color of Slayer's beards, because that's one of the most iconic things about Warhammer. Now, let's see, what have we got here in this dwarf army? I see a crutch thrower catapult. I see what seems to be a flame cannon. I see a bolt thrower, a couple of cannons, organ guns, so all of those units will probably be coming back. And this is just me assuming that what we see here is what we will get. I see the Anvil of Doom, the 6th edition Anvil of Doom, a couple of rune priests, and those are thunderers down there. I think they are maybe even the Skull Pass Thunderers. No, pretty sure they are not. Belay that. No, these are, I think, the plastic Thunderers that came from with the Thunderous Quarrelers box. Also see some Quarrelers there. I have Iron Breakers, Hammerers, and the Iron Breakers and Hammerers. I think the Iron Breakers are the plastic ones, and the Hammerers, I'm not sure. I'm not too intimately familiar with either the plastic or the metal kit. I see Miners, of which I am definitely sure those are the plastic ones. And I'm not sure what I'm seeing back there in the back. Those might also be dwarves with crossbows, but it's a little bit difficult to see. Let's see if I can expand the image a little bit. It just gets a little bit grainy. Those are the Iron Drakes. So the dwarves with the flamethrowers, the portable flamethrowers. Yeah, and then we got more Quarrelers over there, and some more Quarrelers again. Now, what I thought were Hammerers are actually the regular plastic dwarf warriors. So I don't think there are any Hammerers in this picture. No Hammerers or long beards, although the plastic set is still for sale, so I'm pretty sure that they will remain for sale for a little bit longer. Or maybe I'm mistaking the Iron Breakers for the Hammerers. No, this should be Iron Breakers. They are just all armored up. I think those are Iron Breakers. Lots of options for the dwarves, lots of things that we've seen already. Also some iconic sculpts over there. You got the battle standard bearer with his beard around the standard. You've got this dwarf with his axe with a head on the ground, and he's leaning on the handle, and his mustache is draped over his arms. Got this metal slayer that's I believe still at least was around in the 4th edition era. So might be that one. I'm not sure if we're going to see all of these miniatures released, but it would be nice if they were. I mentioned they were standing across from some high elves. I see here the plastic archer kits, the multi-part plastic archers. I think this is the plastic prince on a horse, the one that came with this prince on foot and prince on a horse. And two of the chariots, two of the lion chariots are there. So those will be coming back as well. Speaking of high elves, in the next picture we see orcs facing high elves. Wait, before we go to the next picture, let's just take a little look at the terrain. They've got some typical dwarven terrain. Might be that this has been in some white dwarf battle reports. This doesn't look like the terrain that you get in plastic kits, but we do get that in some of the next pictures. So in the next picture down, you get the orcs versus the high elves. And there we see the fortified mana kit that's been used. So let's maybe hope that that will make a comeback. Might not be, but well, who knows. For the high elves, we see the plastic mage that was included with the Island of Blood set. I see plastic silver helms. I see... what are those? I think those are white lions down there. Illyrian Reavers, they also seem to be the ones that were included in the Island of Blood, the 8th edition. Dragon Princes in the back. Two of the Skycutter Chariots. I see a plastic Battle Standard Bearer, Lothan Seaguard from the Island of Blood set. So they might even be re-releasing those miniatures, or maybe doing them separately. I know that at least the Lothan Seaguard and the Swordmasters from the Island of Blood set, Swordmasters also there by the way, they were released as separate units as well, at least as separate sprues. On the side of the orcs, we get a lot of the plastics that we are familiar with, the multi-part plastic orc kit, the newer boar boys, the bigger boar boys. I see the plastic orc general kit with the foot and mounted version, same as the high elf version. The plastic orc chariot that has been around since 6th edition. I see common goblins, your regular goblin kit with, well, there used to be 20 of them. I see a couple of shamans or maybe some goblin heroes there. I see the stone trolls, the metal stone trolls, still the original sculpts. Snotling swarms, I see a doom diver and a spear chucker, the bolt thrower. Metal pump wagon, 6th edition metal pump wagon. I see plastic wolf riders in the back. So a lot of the orc and goblin plastics, all the units that we are familiar with, have been familiar with, nothing new so far. What does seem to be new is if you look at the, not the final picture, but I think second to last picture, is that you see here a battle from the top. You see orcs and goblins versus Empire, and here you see that some of the orc units, the back ranks, are incomplete, and they've taken the models away from one side. I think that was also the case in 8th edition, not quite sure, but at least in 6th edition you took away the models from both sides towards the center, and then the center model was the last to go. But here you seem to be taking them away from one side and then working your way across towards the other end. So for the orcs, a model that I did not see in the earlier picture is the 6th edition metal war boss on Wyvern. Not even the newer 8th edition fine cast kit. This is the 6th edition one. For Empire, we see Demigriff Knights. I see the plastic handgunner kit, the plastic steam tank. Those are, I believe, great swords, or they might just be state troops. A bit difficult to see as well again. I see the war altar and a hero with a sword and a hammer. I see some. Those are definitely state troops. Halberdiers, I think. I think the other ones might be great swords then. Yeah. And I'm also happy to see what I think are the free company, although I'm not sure about that either. So this might just be a small detachment of handgunners, but I do see some different weapons there, so this might be some free company style troops. We got the plastic knights, they are painted up as knights panther. And in the background there is a mortar, and the mortar is on its own base as well, no longer a freestanding war machine. What also makes me very happy to see is that one of the terrain pieces in this picture is the gate and two of the towers of the old plastic citadel fortress. So, seeing as how these are still in very high demand, I do hope that they will be putting them out again as well. But, well, probably we don't... I probably should not get my hopes up, because I think these pictures are just for show and not so much giving us a glimpse at what we'll be getting. Final picture of a High Elf Mage, and there are some Lodan Sea Guards standing in the front of the Mage. Those are the Plastic Island of Blood Lodan Sea Guard. The Mage is standing inside a ruined watchtower. I believe this is the Death Knell Watch kit. Not sure. Might be Dreadstone Blight. Those names all look alike and I keep mixing them up. But this is one of those watchtower things that you could... It does seem to be pretty modular, but you need more pieces, more kits to make it fully modular. And this is the High Elf Mage that's standing on a pile of floating rocks. So it's also a model that we've seen before in 8th edition. So, well, if these pictures are any indication of what's to come, then I, for one, will be very happy. Because for many of these terrain kits... I know a lot of people are after them, and a lot of the units people are after as well. They go for pretty high prices. So far from what I've seen, I think if all we've seen in these pictures is going to be re-released, I think the only thing I'm going to need is another Lodan Skycutter. And for the rest, I think I have either enough of the originals, or I have proxies that I can use. So, for example, for the dwarves, I do have a lot of slayers. I bought them when they were still relatively cheap, because I at some point want to make the 6th edition slayer throng from the Storm of Chaos list. And the more elite type of dwarves, the hammerers and the iron breakers, I just got a very good proxy from Highland Miniatures 3D printing company, or at least a 3D printing file making company. So I'm just gonna throw those on my printer, and that will probably work for me, seeing as the way that the prices of Games Workshop have been going in these past few years. I don't think that any of the kits I mentioned yesterday, the ones that have been pulled from the store, when they come back, I don't think they will be lower prices, and I don't even expect them to be the same price they were. There will probably be another price increase, and yeah, I do get why Games Workshop does that, but it does make it very difficult to get into the hobby. Just looking at, for example, this dwarf army here, you'd need, 1, 2, 3 boxes of the Iron Breakers, and they go for, so that's over 120 euros there to start off with. Then for the Dwarf Warriors, assuming there's 16 to a box, that's 2 boxes of those. 2 boxes of the Miners at 10 per box. 2 or 3 boxes of the Crossbowmen slash handgunners, a couple of the boxes of the plastic war machines. So yeah, that will set you back quite a bit if you want to recreate this starter army. And I've not even mentioned the medals yet. And that was my lovely daughter coming to bring me a parcel that has just been delivered. I don't think there's miniatures inside it, but I don't know what is, so I'll just have to take a look. Anyway, I think I'm going to leave it at this. Thank you for listening, and well, let's hope next time Games Workshop will wait a little bit, or at least will be a little bit early putting out their old world updates, so that I can incorporate it into the main podcast. Thanks for listening. If you want to get in touch, you can reach me by email at forcesoffantasy@gmail.com. Go to forcesoffantasy.com for all news and updates. Come check out our awesome Facebook group, the Forces of Fantasy podcast community, and while you're there, give the Forces of Fantasy Facebook page a like. You can also subscribe to the Forces of Fantasy YouTube channel, where you'll find battle reports, playthroughs and more. Finally, if you like the show and you wish to support it, head on over to patreon.com/forcesoffantasy. There you'll find exclusive bonus content.